This episode of The Imposter is sponsored by Endy, the Canadian-made mattress-in-a-box company that ships for free and gives you 100 days to try it out. That's more than 3 months of using a thing. That's how confident they are that you'll like it. To get $50 off any mattress, go to endy.ca and enter the promo code Imposter at checkout. We're also sponsored by HelloFresh, the meal kit service that's dedicated to making cooking fun, easy, and convenient. HelloFresh sources fresh local ingredients for recipes that are ridiculously easy to make, but don't look or taste like they are. If you want to try it out for a week, you can get 50% off your first box by going to HelloFresh.ca, promo code Imposter. From Canada Land, this is The Imposter, and I'm Leah Pabani. The first time I interviewed Lito Pimienta was about a year and a half ago. I was totally enamored by the strength of her voice on her first LP, Color. And since then, she'd been building up an international audience for her music over SoundCloud. She had released a cover of Rihanna's work with lyrics about women's labor and the exploitation of her homeland in Colombia, and it blew up. The last time she was on the show, she was about to release La Papesa, and it would end up winning the $50,000 Polaris Prize, even though she was an underdog next to names like Feist and Leonard Cohen. In retrospect, it kind of seemed like she somehow knew where things were going.
I am just so confident in my talent, and now I'm here, and I'm like ready to just like, with this knowledge and this power that I have, just like, take it all, mommy.
This is your year. After she won, a lot of people in this country started paying attention to her music. The media was fixated on the fact that she had called out the sound guys in her acceptance speech because the monitors were off for her performance and she couldn't hear herself on stage. But there weren't a lot of people talking about the fact that La Papesa was the only independently released album on the Polaris shortlist that year. That means she distributed and produced and marketed her own way onto that stage. And that's significant for an artist who built a career as a single mom and who was told by labels that she needed to change her look by losing weight and dyeing her hair pink. This is something she recently told an audience at a talk about how to get paid. And now she's working on her next album, and it's called Miss Colombia. She's pregnant with her second kid, and I wanted to talk to her again because it kind of seems like her luck isn't actually luck. I wanted to know how she made things happen for herself.
I took notes from Lauryn Hill, and I took notes from Beth Gibbons, right? Like, very different artists, very different kind of suffering, and very different kind of display of pain and musicalizing your pain. Like, you know, one, like, fierce black woman and one, you know, fragile white woman from the UK crying about all the things that Beth Gibbons cries about, you know, but I still had an emotional response to it. I take it less seriously now because I live in a Nordic country. And I'm like, yeah, well, why are you crying, Beth? Why are you crying now, Beth? You know, but I did take notes from them because I was like, whoa, Beth Gibbons just wears jeans and like a turtleneck. That's just what she wears. And then I would look at Lauryn and be like, whoa, Lauryn is so fabulous. So I was like, Lito, you're a mix of these two. I don't want people to look at Lito Pimienta aesthetically and think about or associate me with a specific era or genre. So I guess anything close to a strategy would be that how I present myself should always be timeless. I mean, I don't have the budget for it yet, but I try to always look interesting because I think that when I'm on stage, it's my opportunity to decorate myself. It's my opportunity to become this character that is going to take you to the mood that I want you to be on. And it has to start with how I look. Divinidad absoluta creaba, te daba las notas que no necesitabas. Circunstancias muy obscenas eran que te hacían creer que tú eras la primera.
You mentioned that when a label was approaching you, they wanted to alter your look,
mm-hmm.
in order to, like, what were they trying to get you to do? Because to me, like, your look is really marketable, mm-hmm. in a way, because it's like, it's so different.
I'm a damn cartoon. Hello. Damn. I mean, a label has different departments and they have their marketing thing, and they want you to look a certain way, or they want you to exaggerate who you are so that you are actually the image that people want you to be. I mean, it would be so easy for me to sell myself as this Latina bombshell, you know, like, you know, I have a big ass. So, like, why not, girl? Like, show it off, you know, like all of the things that make me who I am. Like, let's be a cliche and people will like you more. There's things that are even cool that I can't do. Like, there's things that are super cool that I just don't feel comfortable with doing.
Like, what kind of things?
Like, when I talk about, like, being Latin, like, there's a lot of things that are Latin tropes that are great, but I can't do. For example, like, I can't do tight.
Mm.
I can't do tight, you know? And, like Selena is such a fashion icon. Like, if I wore a Selena-inspired look, it would be too hot. Like, it would be so hot. It'd be great. Like, I should do it, but I can't.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm like, it feels like the music industry, and some friends of mine who are musicians have kind of talked about this a lot, where femininity exists in a very specific way in the music industry. And it's like really subconscious, the way that people expect women-fronted outfits to be like songstresses, to be like Karen Carpenter, to be this like dream girl. And your look is timeless, and that's liberating, but also I'm sure in a lot of cases people juvenilize you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can wear a giant metallic dress, and I can be wearing jeans and a blouse and heels, and I'll still be infantilized because I'm brown. Like, there's no escape to that. It happens all the time to me.
Me too.
All of the venues. Yeah, all the venues that I go that I'm going to perform, that the sound people won't even acknowledge that I'm there. And they go directly to my bandmates. And they're all like, I don't know what's going on. You have to talk to her. That's Lito.
Mm-hmm.
And then I play my show. I kill it. It's amazing. And then they always come, shake my hand, introduce themselves. If you ever need a sound person, here is my card. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, no, I am never going to employ you, because you didn't treat me with respect the moment that I stepped into the door, because I'm just this little kid doing here. No, guess what? I'm the boss. So
you can tell a lot about people by how they act before they see you perform.
Exactly.
Or before they know who you are.
Yeah.
Is that harder to figure out now that so many people know who you are?
If people know who I am, I would not know. I am always surprised when I'm performing and then there's like a lineup of people hoping to get a picture with me. It always surprises me. And then the people around me, they're like, I'm telling you, girl, you're a big deal. You're a big deal. And I'm like, am I? Because to me, a big deal is Solange. Like, and that's the thing. And that's because I am such a perfectionist and I am such a realist, and I have my goals and the things that I want so clear that if I am not texting with Solange regularly, I'm nobody. So for Canada, I might be something, but I'm not, you know, like, that's my thing. It's like, I want so much more that I don't feel like things have changed that much for me.
Like, after your Polaris win.
Exactly. Or anything. Or, like, it doesn't really make it a big thing to me that I get featured in a magazine or whatever. Like, it doesn't really, because I'm like, well, I feel like I have so much more that I still have to accomplish. This is the calm before the storm. 2018 is going to be chill. It's going to be a great year for me. But 2019 and 2020 is the year that I will be sitting at the Grammys and all that stuff. It's going to happen. Like, I know exactly. And it's happening because I want it to happen. Because I am a student of music that knows what the steps are to get to those spaces. Mm-hmm. And it's because I want to. I don't want to prove it to myself or prove it to anyone else. But it's just, no, I want to know what it's like to walk the Grammys thing. And I want to do it one time in my life, just so that I have the experience.
This episode of The Imposter is brought to you by Endy, the Canadian-made online mattress company that's heavily featured in maybe over 100 unboxing videos on YouTube. I gave my Endy mattress to my friends Gina and Mick in Vancouver, and it was just delivered a few days ago. So, we decided to make Endy's first ever immersive unboxing audio experience. And here it is.
I can't really envision how a queen-size mattress fits into it, to be honest.
Have at it. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Apparently there's a cutting tool inside the box. It looks kind of like a little face with a blade.
Okay.
A whale.
I like that sound.
Yeah, it's a good sound. Okay, I think this is the unrolling moment. Rolling. Oh, whoa.
Oh my god, it's making this weird hissing noise. Do you hear it?
Kind of serene sounding.
Yes. You want to give it a little lie down?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah.
Is it getting to like a privacy point of the condo?
No, we're good. We're still PG over here. Okay. But it is kind of like, like a bit sensual feeling, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a spring mattress that's like kind of pokey. It's sort of like, it's very luxurious feeling.
Don't want to get up.
Tune in next week to find out how Gina and Mick slept. If you want to try out your own Endy mattress, you can get $50 off any of them by going to endy.ca. That's ENDY.ca. Promo code imposter. So while Mick and Gina were unboxing their Endy mattress, they found something inside.
There's also a gift certificate.
For what?
For HelloFresh, that's the other sponsor?
Yes.
A discount coupon for HelloFresh, which is fortunate because they just happen to be the other sponsor for this episode. It's almost like the universe is conspiring to give me good segues. HelloFresh is the meal kit service that's dedicated to making cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, they work with chefs to come up with new healthy recipes that use local ingredients, and they send the exact amount of everything that you need to make a week's worth of meals in an insulated cardboard box to your doorstep. I'm about to get another week of HelloFresh meals to try next week, and one of the surprising pleasures of the experience is going onto their website and scrolling through the meals that are coming to you next week. It's like looking at puppies that you're about to adopt. I got the family plan for 4. For my family of 4 people, and you'll be hearing from them about how delicious it was. If you want to try HelloFresh, all you have to do is sign up for 1 week, and you can get 50% off your first box, which can work out to as little as $6 a meal. go to HelloFresh.ca, enter the promo code IMPOSTER to make your life a little easier, and you'll also be helping out the show. ...2017 was a good year for Lido, but there were some low points. Lido played a show at Halifax Pop Explosion in October, and she invited women of color, trans people, and disabled people, and then white women to come to the front of the stage. And a volunteer photographer for the festival refused to make space, and then after a heated argument between her and a bunch of women of color that interrupted Lido's performance twice, the photographer was removed by security. And the show went on. Halifax Pop Explosion issued an apology to Lido and the women of color from the audience. The Canadian press picked it up, and Lido ended up on InfoWars with Alex Jones, who compared it to telling black people to go to the back of the bus. And that's when the trolls came. Lido was getting hundreds of messages every day with rape threats and death threats against her and her family.
I think the backlash was so enormous that I wasn't even ready to formulate what can people do to protect me more. I don't do the girls to the front and brown girls to the front at all my shows because I am pretty good at understanding when I should do it or shouldn't do it or when it makes sense to do it or not do it. Mm-hmm. Halifax was important that it happened because it was a showcase about women in music. So I made it a point that, yes, I'm going to be a boss and we're going to rearrange the room. Halifax is particularly racist and they are particularly segregated as a community. So it was a perfect opportunity to make it a point because some people that come to my shows or white people that come to my shows, they're great. Like if a white person goes to my show, they're on their way of making a change or being a part of a change or being a part of something good. And I can feel safe around them because if they love anything that I have to do, there's something so sweet about them. Mm-hmm. And that is a Canada that I want to live in. You know, that's the white people that I want to have around me are people that love and respect me.
What happened at the show though that then?
So there's 1,000 people in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm high on the stage. I can see all the way through the back. And the brown faces that were there were no more than 14 that I could count. So I was like, you know what? Come to the front because this is for you. The room lit up. And the women especially were so excited about the idea of giving their space to the few brown women that were there. It was a joyful moment. And I knew that it would be. Because you're going to see a little bit in the show. So of course you want it to be so beautiful.
Yeah.
And accepting and diverse and great. And you want to be a part of it. They were excited. Like maybe there were like 2 men that didn't want to move. And they didn't move and I just made fun of them. And they stayed at the front of the show, the entire show. No one kicked them out, nothing. And that's what happened at the show. And when the incident happened with the photographer, it lasted like no more than a minute. And she left and we just kind of laughed and we're like, this, of course. But then we quickly went back to it because it was our moment and it was beautiful. When media took a hold of it and they twisted my words and they made me seem like this demon that doesn't love white people or whatever, I think that people that could have done something, they tried their best. And they used the platforms that they could as best as they could. They were just outshined and outnumbered.
By Alex Jones's people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like when Alex Jones, who gets millions of views, talks about you.
Good luck.
The few people that are on my side, no matter how many messages they send, no matter how many emails they send, no matter how many posts, they're trying to combat the bad messages on my social media. It's too much. Like, I was refreshing my Instagram, and it was like, I cannot keep up with the negative, because people who are racist, like the Alex Jones enthusiasts that are real, real racist, and now they have been validated and they're thinking that they are doing something good. And this is something that, you know, I was able to analyze after the fact. They think that they are, in fact, attacking or defending themselves from a racist, which is me. Because how dare I kick someone out because they're white? That is racist. If someone gets kicked out because they're black, that is racist. So it's the same with me. So that is how they're not understanding intersectionality or in the context of Canada. They don't care about it. All they hear is black and white, and how dare this brown girl kick out a person because they're white of their show. So when you hear that, and you hear that again and again, and your friends are hearing it, they're going to go full throttle and we're going to go against this girl until the next thing comes. Right. And it lasted, what, 2 months or whatever? I don't remember how much. It was horrible. I was really scared. I was crying all the time. Like, it was very hard on me. But there was nothing that we could have done that were people that were on my side. People did what they could, and they messaged me and they sent me beautiful emails and words of support. But it was just overwhelmingly bigger than what we could handle. I mean, I just kept telling my people, like, I'm gonna need the people who love me to show me as much hate as the people who hate me, but in love form, because hello, like, they're winning. But I'm like, but the people that like Little Pimienta are people that are activists, that are working 24/7, that need to take care of their kids. They don't have time to go at war online with some troll that is making 3 accounts from the, you know, it's just too much. It was like the physical and emotional work was not worth it.
Yeah.
And I did not want my people to be stressed out about these trolls when I knew that it was going to wind down. Mm. You know, it was disappointing though when some like media could have portrayed me in a better light and they didn't do it. But this is the world that we live in. And clickbait is a real thing and is more profitable to vandalize me than it is to celebrate me.
You did post that the attention did take a toll on you in the way that, in terms of body image stuff.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, because there's nothing that you can really say about me as a performer. Like, because I understand taste. When it comes to taste in music, there's nothing that you can do about it. But when you grow up in this world and you understand that fat is bad, then you feel like you are ugly and you feel like there's something wrong with you, and you feel like it really took a toll on me, because like when you're hearing it 1,000 times in an hour, you start believing it. Not believing that you're fat, because yeah, I got my extra chunk, like what? But when people just keep saying that, it's like, is this the only thing that I am then? And then you start feeling like it's not worth it to do your art, because people actually only care about the way that you look and you're not that skinny, you know? But
the music industry is telling people that as well. I mean, it's not like it's one of those things where it's just in your mind that being fat in some way changes your opportunity.
Yeah, because then I'm thinking, you know what? This is true. Like, I will never get to the next level unless I lose weight. You know, and people have told me before. People have told me in the industry. Like, people have told me, like, not just like, oh, maybe if you sang in English. Like, it's just like, oh, maybe if you, like, like, you just change your image and, like, it will be better for you, you know? It's like, it sticks with you.
Where are you at now with it? Like, do you feel...
I'm feeling pretty great because I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty great. And I also know that if I really want to change it, go to Mexico, talk to my uncle who's a plastic surgeon, and he'll take care of it. If I wasn't afraid that something's gonna go wrong.
Wait, you have an uncle that's a plastic surgeon?
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
And my aunt too.
Oh.
So if anyone needs a student rate, I'll talk to my uncle. I feel like you should do it. Yeah. I feel like...
Do what makes you feel good.
Whatever, yeah. whatever, because we all have our insecurities. And actually for Miss Colombia, mm-hmm. because the aesthetic of it is about like the pageants and the whatever, like I might just do it. Like I might just for a tour just have gowns and a crown and stuff. And I might just do it.
Yeah.
Because art motivates me way more than people. Like for my art, I will get like the ab things.
The six pack?
Yeah. I will do it for my, just to make a point
right.
with my art. I right. will.
Talk about the album you're working on now. Where did the idea come from?
Miss Colombia started, I started writing it when Steve Harvey made that Miss Universe mistake to give Miss Colombia the crown when it was supposed to go to Miss Philippines. And then he was like, I'm sorry, it's supposed to go to Miss Philippines. And that's when I started being interested in my country again. I mean, I'm always interested in what's happening in Colombia, but when you're trying to figure out your place in a country like Canada as an immigrant, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of time. Once I started finding myself and like understanding what this Canadian deal is all about, then I was like, you know what? Are you forgetting who you are as a Colombian? Because being Colombian is a big part of your identity, girl, but you don't even know what's going on. You don't even have a Colombian passport. What's happening? So I started paying attention and I started being like, this, what is the significance of beauty in Colombia and the standards of beauty in Colombia? And why is there always just like light-skinned white Colombians that are Miss Colombia? And then it's like, oh, wait, you know, there's a lot of things in here. I go to Colombia as much as possible, at least once a year. But for Miss Colombia, my goal actually is to do or finish the album in Colombia, at least go to Colombia for 3 months. I cannot talk about Colombia and not be in Colombia. I just really need it. I really need to be with my family because my family gives me a lot of fuel. So it is important to talk about Colombia as an outsider, insider. But it's also important to talk about it as an insider, insider. There's one song that I talk about hair. And I talk about hair from the point of view of little Lito the day before she knew that she was going to get her hair straightened but for the first time. And then I think about my nieces, and I think about my nieces now that the time is going to come when they have to get their hair straightened, because in Colombia, it, you know, when you want to get a job, you have to put a picture of yourself on your CV. So a lot of women know that they're going to have a relationship with their hair as if their hair was another person that lives with them that they have to take care of. But the way that I'm talking about it is in a lullaby. It is this way of expressing myself with tenderness and with beauty, because I understand that a message is more powerful when it is shinily wrapped than it is when it comes to you blunt and with rage. And I want you to just get lost in the music, in the sound. Like, I'm telling you a story. So this is a story of Miss Colombia. And Miss Colombia is me. But Miss Colombia is also the women of Colombia that have to grow up knowing that their bodies are not their own.
Are you making it for people in Colombia more than you're making it for other people?
Miss Colombia is a cynical love letter to my country. You know, we always have that homophobic uncle that you grew up with him and he showed you nothing but love and support and guidance when you were growing up. And then you become an adult and you start having adult conversations with this uncle and you realize, my uncle is homophobic, transphobic, racist. But you love him. And if your uncle dies, you feel like a part of you also died. That's how I feel about Colombia. To me, Colombia is that relative that I have that I love with all of my heart, but is problematic as fuck. And I'm trying to have a conversation with them and telling them, this is why it's wrong to be transphobic. And I know that they're not going to listen, but I love them so much that I'm still going to tell them why I think they're wrong. It's going to be way more political than anything that I've done before, but it's also going to be way more melodic and way more pop. Like right now, it sounds like industrial reggaeton. Like it's going to be super accessible and easy to understand, but mm-hmm. it's going to be the most political and critical album that I've done so far. In Miss Colombia, I am finally free from a lot of demons that have had a hold of me for the last 10 years. And I will be ready to out the people that have hurt me. I will be the people that I always talk in code about. They're all going down. So it's going to be great.
I'll take that as a warning.
Better start giving me my checks if they don't want to be on that list.
That was Lito Pimienta, whose uncle can get you a student rate on plastic surgery. So if you're looking, I guess you could email us and we'll connect you. The songs on this episode were Copal by Kalima, featuring Lito, Nikan by Masaya, the solo project of Brandon Valdivia, who's in Lito's band, and a remix of Lito's Un Minuto by Lara, featuring Poltamento Remix. You can find links to their work at canadalandshow.com/imp. This episode of The Imposter was produced by Angela Shackle and I, and our theme music is by Nathan Burley. You can follow us on Twitter at Imster, that's I-M-P-S-T-R, and you can follow me at Aliyah Pabani. Our crowdfunding site is patreon.com/CanadaLand. And if you like The Imposter, tell your people about it. Okay?
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.